God, if you are. For our students, ages 5 to 10, if you wish, Miss Colleen and Miss Tun are at the back here by the stairs. They have your class ready for you. If you wish, there's a young visitor here with us. Yep, there you go, guys. Sam, thank you so much for reading earlier. Arhan, he's gone already, isn't he? Out the door. I knew he had to go. My friend Edward. I got his name right. He waved at me. Hard to hear me? I whispered the last thing. Sorry. A verse popped up on my Bible app this morning. It says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. That's the Amplified version of Philippians 4 and 13. We're talking about be holy, be whole. Whole as in W-H-O-L-E, to be whole. I believe this is a time, this is a day and an age, this is a moment in our history as a body of believers for us to join in with what God is doing, for us to understand and press into his agenda, his call for our lives. It's got nothing to do with me, really. Part of me wishes it did, kind of like, you know, after being a very shy teenager, kind of like being kind of on the spot, but it's got nothing to do with me. Leviticus 11 and 44, I'm just going to highlight a couple verses because I'm doing a bit of an outline here, just so you know, because I'm addressing something I think is something that's missing, something that maybe we've abdicated it. Maybe we haven't placed enough emphasis on it. Maybe our hearts need to be realigned with the heart of Jesus. Maybe our minds need to be renewed in his word. Maybe we need to be restored by being in his presence. Leviticus 11:44a, Sam read that for us. It says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Do not make yourself unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy as I am holy. I'm working on the hypothesis that as we become holy because of God being holy, we can be whole even here. Because we're a work in progress. It's not asking for perfection. God is not here saying, once you're holy like me, then you're just like me and you don't have to try anything else. The interesting thing is, last I checked in the mirror, I'm still human. I still put on my makeup. I curled my hair. Did all of this stuff. But to be whole here, because of Jesus in me, means I am going to continually press into being holy because God is holy. I want to hear his voice in my mind and in my heart and in my spirit. I want to be physically ready. And Leviticus 11 speaks to the Israelites at the time. It speaks to them about clean and unclean food and what to avoid and what to enjoy and things like that. I want to carry that premise to our day today, to our times today. God wants us to assess everything we use to nourish us, if it's clean or unclean. Does it line up with his word? Does it feed our spirit? Are we growing more and more in being his disciples and his servants and in his love because of the things we allow in our lives? Now, little side note, I know the season of Lent is coming up, and I thought, what better way to challenge us? This is one I'm guilty of. How many of us spend more time than is perhaps healthy, wise, and wonderful on certain devices or social media or watching movies or whatever we spend an inordinate amount of time on? God does want us to take care of our physical bodies. He tells us to, because it's a temple. But he also wants us to guard our minds. So maybe, pray about it. I'm praying about it. Commit to taking something out of your life pattern for the next while and let God fill that space. Maybe. It's a challenge to throw out there. How we take care of ourselves, how we nourish ourselves, is a reflection on how well we are going to be able to serve. If we're lackadaisical in our feeding of our spirit, feeding of our soul, feeding of our mind, then we are going to be lackadaisical in how we serve others, because we won't have what we need maybe to pray with that person who wants us to pray. We may not have enough gas in the tank to do that which he has called and designed us to be and to do. Leviticus 20:7 also says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And the outline of the chapter is to be firm, be solid, be resolute in not allowing sin in your camp, in not allowing sinful practices to be a part of your day-to-day life. When I was a teenager, you know what the biggest thing in my teenage high school years was? I don't know how they did it, but when we were at lunchtime at high school, the big talk was, did you see the soap opera today? I don't know how they even got a TV at the school, because this is a long time ago. I know we have many devices these days and we can stream anything and everything, but that can make it a little more dangerous for us today. How easy it is to let things that are not godly in. And this part is telling us to guard our personal spiritual discipleship time. So maybe if we're giving up devices or movies or things that are keeping us away from God, put things in that bring you to him. Read his word. Worship. Honestly, if you can find interesting stuff on here, you can find a Christian radio station, thank you. I know I try to. Or you can load up your own list of worship songs you like. Or you play any device that you have at your home that keeps you in the presence of Jesus. My granddaughter is having a challenge these days. She's liking to stay up late, and mommy's exhausted. She's 7. She knows how to do everything because, you know, she's old enough to, she's about here. And Oma, honestly, I know how to do that. It's okay. It's like, you need to go to sleep. Oh, I'm not ready yet. I'm too wired. I'm just like, okay. So mommy and daddy have put together a worship playlist for kids. And it's to help her calm down. I remember when I first accepted Jesus when I was 14. Some people will remember this name. Some, this will be a new name to you, Keith Green. And in that day, I think I wore out 3 cassette tapes of this one album because that was my playlist. I would do a bit of reading and listening and let Jesus, because a cassette tape eventually ends. You know that, right? It stops. For those who don't know what cassette tapes are, it'll play 6 songs and then click, the machine shuts off. That's kind of handy. I think I should get one for my granddaughter. She won't know what to do with it, but she'll figure it out. Personal spiritual disciplines, spending time in his word, spending time in worship, spending time purposefully in his presence. Not just saying, oh, I read my 3 chapters today, I'm good. What we just did. What we just did, where our hearts were tugged, where we were touched, that is in his presence. And if there were tears or joy or whew or whatever it was, know that that is his presence. And we need to hunger more for that. That needs to be the discipline we spend more time in than other things. Sure, we need to cook food. We don't mind catching up on the news. Watch a movie with your family, your kids. That is all great. But let's remember that if we want to see God move in your family, in your person, in your community, in your home, in your school, in your business, in the stores you go to, if you want to see God move, be in his presence so that when he does move, you are part of it. Thank you. Leviticus 20 and 26. Again, be ye holy, for I am holy. I turned a whole bunch of pages. I didn't need to. Ugh, I need new bifocals, Ralph. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. We're not to be in his presence just so we can say, wow, that felt so good. I'm just going to sit back here and say, Jesus, you touched my heart. It's been amazing. And then zip lips the rest of the week. Or until the next time we come to church. Or until the next time we have a sense of his presence in our lives. We are called to be the very presence of Jesus in all of our relationships. Scripture is actually pretty clear, and it's great that the scripture comes along on family weekend. We are to be Jesus for those we are closest to. The rest of the I'm pulling from a context of the chapter. In Timothy 5, 4, and 8, talks about how we are to take care of our widows. If any widows, anyone among us, has children or grandchildren, those children and grandchildren are to take care of them. I would like to extend that even further. If you have someone in your life you know God has placed in your life, you ask God to help you take care of them. You ask God on how to bring them to Jesus. You ask God to allow you to be the version of Jesus your person needs. That might look a little different in some cases. Leviticus 21 and 8. This part of the chapter is covering rules for priests in the Old Testament. And that's solid and it's valid. And I want to expand it. When God gives us jobs to do for him, we need to be wholehearted. And enabled, and in order to be wholehearted, we need to be pressing in what it means to be holy like he is holy. That means if he's going to govern our things we watch and say and how we nourish our spirit, if he's going to help us be this person of Jesus to our families and our friends, if he's going to help us to resist any attacks of the enemy, that's our job, to maintain a standard that the presence of Jesus will be known, perhaps not even preached. Wouldn't it be amazing to have someone come up to you and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I want to know. How did you handle that situation differently? What's changed in your life, even now? Because you know what? God can change each and every one of us to have a deeper hunger for him, a deeper sense of his presence, even very this moment. So that walking out of here, we are changed for the purposes of eternity. Not because I want to feel better. Church I was in my youth, we had one lady who, the minute you said the word the Holy Spirit, she literally stood up and went, ooh, and spun like a top and went over. Now, I grew up, I was in a Pentecostal church and stuff like that, but there was one moment the pastor said, please, sister. Guess what her first name was? Jean. Just poking. Her name was Jean. And she's long since gone on to glory. But he asked her to allow God to continue to speak so that none of us were distracted by her initial response. And that's okay. And she was okay with that. And people around her said, wow, that was a change for you. But let the people near you see that you have been changed because of his presence in your life today. Even today. Going into 1 Timothy 4. I probably should get one of those set of tabs. I'm at verses 1 through 11. We've talked about how to nourish ourselves. We've talked about how to manage within our families. We've talked how to guard against the attacks of the enemy. And we've talked just a little bit. These are just topics. I'm not even digging deep into them. But we've talked about what it means to be a servant of him by ministering for him wholeheartedly. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 starts. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry, order them to abstain from certain foods which God has created, to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. Verse 4 is my big focus. For everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point out these things to your brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths, old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for the present life and the life to come. When we sing that the work is complete, God means it. Jesus believed it. Do we always believe that God's work in our lives has been completed? Do we fully believe that he loves us no matter what? Do we fully believe he can heal us? Do we fully believe he can restore relationships? Do we fully believe he can pour into us by his Spirit? Or are we just paying lip service to the words because it's the right thing to do, because the pastor goes, say amen? Do you really believe the work that Jesus completed on the cross is active, alive, vital, real for right now, this moment, this time, in each of our hearts? Do we believe it? Because if we don't, we will not be the kind of church that is seeing movings like we're seeing in Asbury and that type of thing. Now, I refer to that because I'm absolutely amazed at what God is doing in our world. And I want to bring this a little bit into context of where I've been at. We had a similar move in my Bible college days, and there was such a sense of the presence of peace. And this is what is being noted. We have friends that we're following online that they have friends who've been at this university and just listening to what God is doing. Such a time as this. God is moving. God is moving. That work is completed so he can move here. Maybe what we need to do, and I think in my mind as I'm trying to figure it, because I have a human mind too, I think God is saying, shut off the noise of the world. Shut off the noise of opinions. Shut off the noise of politics. Shut off the noise of fear. Shut off the noise of lack of finances. Shut off our health concerns. To have a full sense of him filling us. To know his peace at this time. To know his provision. We've already established the work is complete. Jesus has healed. He can heal today. Jesus has restored. He can restore today. Jesus has renewed. He can renew today. Now, we can stand on that as a promise. A promise. There's nothing in there that says, oh, let's wait and see. Wonder if the temperature's going to be right outside. If it's raining, maybe I'll just stay inside and not worry about things. We heard in worship, we are the temple. Jesus dwells in us. We have a nice building to deal with that and have us all together, but we are his temple. We are his vessels. And to be personally committed to living for Jesus needs to look more like waiting for him to do stuff. I've been reading this book. The title is It's Not What You Think. It's a cool title. Why Christianity is about so much more than going to heaven when you die. It is so much more than that. The gentleman writes this statement, and you can take it for what it is. It's kind of formed how I've been going with this today. He says, his name is Jefferson Bethke. If I pronounced it wrongly and he hears this, my apologies. He writes, I believe the Western Church has been seeing the world in black and white for some time. We're not really involved. We're kind of watching it like it's not really whatever. But we don't even realize that maybe we've been contributing to it being black and white. This is caused by us forming Jesus in our own image rather than letting Jesus form us in his. We have domesticated, westernized, neutered, and altogether changed Jesus to an eternal, the video was perfect, Mr. Potato Head. Ripping off the parts we don't like and adding what we think seems right. This is a young man who is trying to get a sense of who Jesus is in his world, his context, whatever. And I stand here to say, Jesus is here now. Jesus wants to take whatever Mr. Potato Head version we have of him in our minds. Oh, it's only Jesus if I get enough money for the week. It's only Jesus if he answers my prayer a certain way. It's only Jesus if it makes me feel good. It's not. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is the obedient Son who gave up his divinity, came to earth to live like us humans, and died for us. He died for me. He died for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. How do we even think about not committing to doing the same? Do we trust in that love that is completed enough to let go of whatever fear is holding us back now? Do we trust in his work in our lives enough? The work that's completed because of the cross, do we trust him enough to let that be worked out here? Now, in this moment, do we believe his love is enough to handle the abuses, the traumas, the lack, the times we're getting yelled at by family and friends? Do we believe it enough that that work was completed on the cross and we can stand in it today? We will see progressing, but we need to stand in the fact that Jesus did the work. We need to use a large measure of trust in some things in our life because that's why it's called the journey of faith. Right? We can pray. The faith journey is not just wildly believing, oh, God will take care of it, it'll work out in the end. It is knowing that you know that you know that the completed work Jesus did for us on the cross, he will complete it in each and every one of our lives. and the ultimate completion will be heaven. And what our path looks like from here till there, that's for each of us to walk with God. But know that we have the same foundation. Jesus died for each and every one of us. Jesus died so that we could be whole. And in being holy, as God is holy, we become the best representative of serving him, loving him, serving others around us, and loving others. I have a bit of a challenge. It's going to start in 1 Corinthians 13. This verse has been on my heart for a lot of years, just so you know. And just so you know, I'm sure we've all found a verse and said, oh, that's for that person. I can't wait to tell them. Right? Have we all had those types of verses? Those moments of, oh, I can't wait to get them with God's word. That'll fix them. Well, God gave me this at one of those times. And I haven't used it yet because that would be the wrong way to bring out God's word. If anything we say or do does not have God's love as its foundation, we will be called out as just being noise. This chapter speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. I am not disparaging gifts of the Spirit. I'm not saying one way or the other. What I'm saying is, if we operate in the gifts of the Spirit but do not have love, verse 1, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is not showing off what we've got because we think it's cool or essential. Now, I'm not saying none of the gifts of the Spirit aren't essential. I'm saying is if in the mind of not having it in the right context, if it's more important to have these gifts than to love your neighbor who rubbed you the wrong way on the way into church, cut you off in the parking lot, and you're ready to go, it's kind of hard to work in the gifts of the Spirit if you do not have love. Now, God will always honor his word, but you will not have a blessing of seeing God do something totally amazing if you do not have love. So I'm going to challenge us that with love is patient, it's kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I love that word persevere, because even when I can't see an answer, if I'm hanging on to Jesus, he will have an answer for me. I may not be able to figure out the dilemma I'm in. We may not be able to see the next step of the path of loved ones or our life or our community, but we have a God who knows it all. And if we persevere in our faith, if we hang on to his word, and if we endeavor to always protect, always trust, always hope, and always persevere, God is going to complete the work that he has purposed for each of us in those moments in our lives. We are here for God's purposes, not ours. We are here for God's agenda, not ours. We are here for God's plans, not ours. But in obedient submission to him, I would wager to say that when we put aside the noise of the world, When we put aside our opinions, our preferences, God can only move if we're dressed in a certain way, got a hair got to be right, got to have the right Sunday clothes on. If we can get past all of those, and I pick on those little things to make, you know, don't let superficial things stop you from being in his presence. Don't let thoughts that go, I'm not good enough, keep you from his presence. Don't let thoughts of, oh, God would never do that for me because I'm such a mess. Don't let that happen. It is for our mess. It is for our wellness. It is for our ability to be with him in his presence that he came. He completed the work. It is a present, live, vital work now. As we continue to give ourselves over to becoming holy so that we can be whole, so that we can be diligent in all that he has given us. When we love and serve as he has loved and served us, we cannot fail. It was a quote from Anne Voskamp as a precis to this book. She writes a neat thing. And while I read this, and if the worship team would like to come back, they're welcome to. If there is something in your life, if there's some moment in your space right at this time that you need to ask God to help you stay focused on what he wants to cleanly feed us with, you need to ask God to take things out of your life that are keeping you from him. You need to ask God to move ahead in your relationships, to keep things out of your spiritual mind that you don't need in your world, and that you need God to give you so that you can serve. Anne Voskamp writes this little note about a gentleman who, in his garage, had what was to be a print of the Declaration of Independence of the States, and had a garage sale one day, and said, oh, can I buy that? Yeah, $2, no big deal. Well, the person who bought it recognized that it could have potential, and when he got it appraised, it was worth over $500,000 because it was an actual copy at a time when one of the presidents had produced it, and the guy at the garage said, oh, more power to you. It did not impact him, what he had. We hold in our hand the greatest impact in all humanity. In all ages of time, in all areas of the world, we hold in our hand the ability to be in his presence. Don't send it out. You can think you know what to think, and turns out it's not quite what you think it is, but that's the whole point. You don't think Jesus is your everything until you have nothing but Jesus. You don't think of Jesus as anything but ultimately useful to getting the life you want until you experience Jesus as ultimately the most beautiful in the life you already have. When you become God's, all duty becomes beauty. You don't think of Jesus as anything but an example to follow until you experience him as a lover to fall into, as a lamb to forgive you, and a Lord to set you free. Christianity is more than going to heaven when you die. It's about dying with Christ now so you can live now. It is more than performing a good life. It's about Christ performing an entirely perfect life for you so you can live an abundant life in its entirety. Christianity is more than going through the motions. It's about letting Christ touch the heart of your emotions and going through life with him. Every time we speak the name of Jesus is an opportunity for him to do what only he can do. In whatever you have in your life that you have need from him, he can do it when you speak his name. Do you believe?